Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Staten Island, New York. From 1988 to 2008, he owned and operated Preferred Realty Development Corporation, a home builder. And from 86 to 2008, he owned Staten Island Furrier. Since 2001, he's been the founder and chairman of the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which honors his brother, Stephen Siller, U.S. military and first responders who continue to sacrifice life and limb for our country. His name, Frank Siller. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to the founder and chairman of the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, his brother, Frank Siller. Frank, welcome. A real honor.
Thank you for having me, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, growing up in Staten Island, and your mom and your dad, please?
Well, you know, so I'm from a large family. My mom and dad were blessed to have seven kids. I had three brothers, three sisters. I was next to the youngest, closest to my brother, Stephen, who was born 14 years after me. So we had a great childhood growing up. We're very normal family back then in the 50s and, you know, the 1950s, you know, there were a lot of large families, most certainly on Staten Island. And we were poor. We were poor, but we didn't know it. We had everything that you needed. We were surrounded by love. My mother was the best mother that anyone could have, and I feel the same about my father. So we were blessed. Now, but there was really six of us until I was 14 years old, and then my little brother was born, Stephen. And he became the very core of our family. He was the, he really brought us, I mean, we were very close, always very close. But when Stephen was born, it just brought it to a new level. It was incredible the amount of love that we had for him. I mean, he was all, my mother was almost 45. My father was almost 50 when he was born. So he was our little miracle. And we treated him as such. He was surrounded by this great, older siblings, and we just loved him to death. So he became an integral part and the very essence of who we are as a Siller family. So, you know, as time goes on, we get older, we leave the house. Stephen's still in the house, but my father, when Stephen was 8 and a half years old, he went in for an operation because he had type 1 diabetes, and he had a very probably had problems with the circulation. So he went in to do an operation, and he ended up having an embolism and dying. So when Stephen was 8 and a half, our dad died. And you can imagine a boy at that age, you know, what a father means to, you know, to a young little boy. And he was really torn up, to say the least. And I remember him saying to my mother, he said, "Hey, Mom, because he was so upset, he goes, but you're not going to die, right, Ma? You're not going to die. You're going to be, you know." And she said, "Of course, Stephen, you know, we're, you know, you have me, you have your older siblings." But lo and behold, my mother ends up getting cancer. And a year and a half later, my mom passes away. So by the age of 10, Stephen was really orphaned. But he was blessed that he had much older siblings, and that we could take care of them. And that's exactly what we did.
Your late mom and dad had a great devotion to St. Francis of Assisi. What have you held from that love that they had for that saint?
Well, they taught us that we could live with very little. And they taught us how to serve and how to do for others. And the one, so after my brother Stephen died on 9/11, which I know we'll get to shortly, but I was walking with my oldest brother, Russell, who, God rest his soul, just passed away this past November. And he said, Frankie, St. Francis, because we're thinking of, you know, things, the motto is to live by, you know, the foundation. You know, what are we going to do? You know, what's the one guiding force, you know, and the teachings of St. Francis came right to the top because of what my parents did. Look, my father used to go out in the evenings a couple nights a week. And I used to say to my mother, what's he doing? And she said, he's going to go visit the sick in the hospital. And I said, what's he do? He goes, well, he talks to them or reads to them or prays with them. And so we learned very early on, you know, you had to be there for each other. And they would devote the Catholics and most certainly to St. Francis. So my brother said, St. Francis said, my brother Russ, brothers and sisters, while we are here, while we have time, let us do good. And we knew exactly that is the thing that we wanted to do as a foundation. We just want to do good in the memory of my brother and all those who perished on 9/11. And, you know, we'll go into exactly what we're doing, but we certainly are doing good.
Frank, from 1986 to 2008, 22 years, you ran the Staten Island Furrier. What was that all about?
Well, I got into fur business. It was very odd. I taught myself the business. And I became successful at it. But at the same time, I was a builder, a preferred realty, and I built homes. And I didn't really make much money, if anything, at building, but I learned how to build. And later on, I didn't realize how important that would be in running the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, because it ends up that we end up building specially adapted smart homes for our country's most catastrophically injured service members all over the country. And because I had a background in building, I wasn't worried about making sure that we could build these houses. So knowing how to run a business and knowing what a payroll was, knowing that you had to, you know, take care of your employees, you had to make sure they had health care, all these type of things. When we started the foundation, it was started by all my siblings. And I structured it like I would a business to make sure that we can survive and do the good work that we wanted to do. So having all this other business background for me became so important to the success of the foundation.
We're talking to Frank Siller, and I'm Jack Krasulik, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasulik, with Frank Siller. Frank, let's go back to the summer of 2001. You're 48 years old. Tell us about Frank Siller in the summer of 2001.
Well, I'm very pleased with my life. I have three beautiful children. My siblings were also very close. My brother Stephen, albeit was a firefighter, he worked with me since he was 15 years old till the day he gave his life up on September 11, 2001. As a matter of fact, the day before September 11th, I'm out to lunch with my brother Stephen. We're making plans for business, but more importantly, we're making plans for the next day to go play golf with my brother George, my brother Russ, Stephen, and myself. And the four brothers were going to get an opportunity to play golf together. And we were so excited, and we had lunch. And the last thing I said to him is, I'll see you tomorrow. Of course, that didn't happen. But in the summer of 2001, as I said to my brother Russ once, I said, life was damn near perfect up until that day.
All right, let's go to 9/11. Stephen had worked the night before. And tell us about the morning of 9/11.
Well, my brother Russ came to my house early because he was always very early. And he said he was going to go stop down at Stephen's house to see the kids before we got together to go play golf. And so he left, he went down there, and then my brother George came over to my house because, like I just said, we were going to play golf. So Stephen had just finished his night tour in Squad 1 in Brooklyn, and he was on his way home to play golf. And he hears on his radio scanner that the towers were hit. And he calls his wife, Sally, up and says, Sally, I'm going back. I'm getting my, you know, my gear. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to try to get over to, you know, to the Twin Towers and tell my brothers I'll catch up with them later if I can. And so he drives back to his firehouse. Of course, his company's gone already. They responded. And they're not far away from New York. They go through this tunnel called the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, which connects downtown Brooklyn to downtown Manhattan, and which is only a few, maybe a mile and a half away from his firehouse. So he goes back to his firehouse. He gets his gear. He drives to the mouth of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Now it's closed for security reasons. There's cars abandoned in there. There's people panicking. You can imagine, you know, the towers were hit. And so what does Stephen do? He pulls his car over on the highway and gets out, puts his gear on his back. And as it was said to me by somebody who saw him that morning do this, he calmly started jogging into the tunnel. And that's how I knew knew exactly where he parked and what he had done. So he jogs into the tunnel, goes running into the tunnel. The tunnel's almost 2 miles long. And he goes through the tunnel and he goes up to Liberty and West. That was the last place he was seen alive. And Liberty West is right on the corner of where the South Tower is, almost right there. And he sees a couple of the firefighters and he goes into what we believe was the South Tower because all his brothers that he worked with in Squad 1 were in the South Tower. And you would want to find out where you know, the people you work with every day, where they are, you know, where they responded. So we believe he was in the South Tower. And he wasn't in the lobby because there were so many bodies recovered in the lobby. So we already know that he was in there going up the stairs, saving people for sure. And we don't know exactly what he did from that point on, other than gave up his life and while saving others. Now, Stephen left behind a wife and 5 beautiful children. Stephen was on top of the world. I think if there's one thing I have to express to your listeners is that my brother Stephen was on top of the world. He is a little boy that was orphaned at age 10, grows up, becomes a firefighter, has a very troubled adolescence. You could imagine, you know, he had to fight through some demons, you know, and he lands on his feet, to say the least. The nonsense is over before he's even 19 years old, becomes this outrageous person, falls in love with literally a young girl that he went to school with when he was in grammar school. They get married. They start having kids. They buy a house. They got the house with the white picket fence. They got everything. They have everything. He's the happiest he's ever been. And we know it as a family. We could see it. His brothers and sisters, we're so happy for him because he deserved it. And he fought for it. And when we found out that he gave up his life and what he did, we knew we had to do something to honor that bravery and that last act of love.
He was 34 years old. Sally, his wife, had Katie, 10, Olivier, 6, Genevieve, 4, Jake, 2, and little Stephen, 8 months old. I watched that 55-minute video that you guys did. This, talk to us about Sally Siller, Frank.
Well, Sally has done a remarkable job. You can imagine what she must have felt that day, and she's felt since. Look, even though time has gone on, you can never replace the person that you lose. And she's done a terrific job. The kids are spectacular human beings. They are just really, Stephen would be proud of her in so many different ways for sure. And, you know, for us, when we see, you know, when every time I see any Stephen's kids, I see my brother, you know, every single time, which is a beautiful thing. And I'm always telling stories and we're all telling stories about my brother to them, and they love it, and they absolutely love it. So he was a character. He was everybody's best friend. Everyone thought he was their best friend. How many people during the services came up to me and said, Stephen was my best friend. Stephen was my best friend. I loved your brother. And he was just that type of person. He died the way he lived, doing for others. And that's truly the way he lived every day.
Frank Siller, how did this tragedy affect your faith in God?
Well, I got to tell you, I was shaken to the core. But because I had the background of my mother and father, my mother would say, no matter what happened, offer it up to God. And I'm talking about smaller things, nothing like this. You weren't allowed to complain at all, ever, in our family. And my father, he was more like St. Peter. He was a character. He let you know how he felt on every issue. But he was so spiritual. We were blessed that we had that, you know, that foundation of relying on God to get us through things. And that's what we did. And that is most certainly what I did and still do to get through everything, because, you know, 9/11 was part of it, but then it's just, you know, life itself throws so many things at you. You just got to, if you turn towards God and you realize that things happen, you can get through it. You can get through it.
We're talking to Frank Siller. When we come back, we're going to talk about Tunnel to Towers Foundation that he and his 5 siblings started. Frank, you're an angel. The only thing that you got a problem with, Frank, is you talk funny.
Hey, so forget about it. Forget about it.
Spoken like a true New York, New Jersey. So, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Frank Siller. Frank, Tunnel to Towers, www.tunnel2towers.org. Tell us about Tunnel to Towers.
So when we found out what Stephen did on 9/11, that he ran through the tunnel to the towers, it was easy for us to give it that name, albeit let us do good, like I said earlier, from St. Francis said, brothers and sisters, while we have time, while we're here, let us do good. So we decided to start a foundation in honor of what Stephen did and all those who perished that day, because we wanted to be very inclusive, because Stephen wasn't the only hero. We know that. We knew that right from the beginning, because not only did I lose my brother, I lost quite a few friends that day. If you're from New York, that area, you know, some kids I played sports with in high school and some that I coached perished that day. So it was a whole array of people. So we started this foundation, and we really didn't know what we were going to do. And then one of my brother Stephen's lifelong friends, Billy Codd, said, Frank, how about if we have a run every year? We do a run. I said, Billy, you know, there's runs, there's dinners, there's golf outings. I want to be unique. I want to think Stephen did something so unique, I want to do something very unique. And he says, no, I'm not just talking about a run. I'm talking about how about if we run through the tunnel like Stephen did and to ground zero. And I literally was overcome with emotion, because, you know, when something's right, it's not even a decision. It's just do it, you know. And so we started. So the first year we had the Tunnel to Towers run around the first year anniversary of 9/11. And we had about 2,500 people run through that tunnel. Now, we didn't know what we were going to do with the money we raised, but we knew it was going to be for firefighters. My brother was a firefighter, and for the families that were that paid such a sacrifice, let it be on 9/11 or afterwards. And we wanted to help kids. It was always around kids, because Stephen had 5 kids. So we always wanted to help young families. So as time went on, and we're doing this year after year after year, and we're raising a little more money each year, in 2009, the first quadruple amputee to ever survive any war, Jack, think of that, quadruple amputee, was from Staten Island, where Stephen was born. And a group of us went down to Walter Reed Army Medical Center to visit him. And we were down there. I asked him I said, Brendan, his name is Sergeant Brendan Morocco. I said, Brendan, the foundation would like to build you a house. And he said, okay. He goes, I don't know if I'm coming back to Staten Island. I said, well, it doesn't matter. We'll build it where you want, because a lot of them want to stay around the hospitals, you know, Walter Reed. And I said, it doesn't matter. We'll build it wherever you want. And he says, wherever? And I said, yeah. And he goes, even Hawaii? I said, yeah, even Hawaii, Brendan. If you know these guys, they're just outrageous human beings. So it ends up he comes back to Staten Island, and we build him his house in Staten Island. So now we have to raise a lot more money than what we were doing, because now we're building specially adapted smart homes. And that's another miracle, that how we started to build it, make it a smart home. I thought we're just going to build him a home, because I'm not that smart. I was just going to build a home. But then I had somebody work for us, came every day. His name is John Ponte, who used to put smart technology into homes. That was his business. And he said, Frank, we should put this in. You know, besides the elevator, we should put, they could tap the faucet and it can go on, you know, with the prosthetics and all these other amenities that we put in there, smart amenities for him to give him back some independence. And we put it all in. And lo and behold, we built our first smart home. Gave it away June 11th, 2011, for 3 months before the 10th year anniversary of 9/11. And we've been doing, now we've built over 100 of those smart homes for our country's most catastrophically injured service members. But now we have to raise more and more money. I want to tell you one more story on how we decided.
Let me just interrupt. Each one of those 100 homes cost at least $500,000.
Oh yeah, no. $500,000 is a low price for a smart home. Figure the cost of the land, and then you build these houses. They can't be tiny little boxes because they have to move around in them in their wheelchairs. So yes, so each one is over $500,000 for sure. So then 2014, and just like I said, when we built that house, the smart home, it was an easy decision to make. Because you see a young man with four limbs. These are easy decisions. Got to do it. Just have to do it. Now, 2014, if you recall, December 20th, 2014, detectives Lou and Ramos in New York were sitting in Brooklyn in a cop car, and some crazy person comes up from Baltimore when they were spewing hate. The cops were bad. This sick person think it was okay to go kill a cop, and he comes in, assassinates two of them. And when we heard, I was with the former mayor, Rudy Giuliani, we heard right afterwards that they were worried about their mortgages. How are they going to live? And I said, Rudy, how about if we help them on their mortgages? And we decided that we were going to pay off both Detectives Lou and Ramos's mortgages. And that's how that part of the program was born. And we've done over 150, maybe closer by the end of this year, 200 mortgage payoffs for police officers and firefighters that die all over our country in the line of duty who have young kids. But there's one more piece of this that is the biggest miracle that I've ever seen for the foundation. Detective Lou, when he was killed, had no children, but they froze his sperm. And do you know that over a year and a half later, almost nearly 2 years after his death, his widow gave birth to their child?
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Now tell me. Wow. And she calls her angel. And you tell me that's God isn't watching over, you know, these families that have to pay such a price for our freedom, Jack, for our freedom, let it be in our communities or for our country. We better take care of these families. We better take care of them.
Speaking of freedom, we celebrate this weekend
exactly
the birth of our nation. Frank, tell us how good we got it to be living in America.
It's just incredible. If you really go back and you think about the price that was paid for our independence, and I'm not just talking about 1776 and forward. I'm talking about today, right now. There's over a million of our men and women in uniform that are willing to die for us, for you and me, every single day to give us this great country. Yeah, we sit in the backs with our family and we celebrate the independence of America, and we should. It's a great celebration. But we better have a promise to our men and women in uniform. And that promise is, in our Tunnel to Towers, this is our promise, that if, when you go to serve your country, and this goes for our first responders also, so if they go to serve their country or their community, and they give their kids a kiss goodbye, and they don't come home, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation wants to take care of those families. And that is our promise to these families. That's why I got to raise a measly old, forget about $200 million or whatever it may be. I need to raise a lot more money because there's a big commitment out there to these families. Could you imagine somebody serving their country and they say back in the head, if something happens to me, I know that my family is going to be taken care of? That's one less thing they have to worry about. It doesn't bring them back, and we can never repay the debt of that, the ultimate sacrifice, but we can alleviate the financial burden for these families.
www.tunnel2towers.org. 93 cents of every dollar that Frank and his family raise gets used to help others. Tunneltotowers.org. His goal, he wants to get 1 million people giving $11 a month, $132 a year. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Frank Siller, the founder and chairman of the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Tell us about Christopher Slutman, Frank.
Oh my God, what a hero! So these, you know, guys that, so there are heroes, and there's ones I call superheroes, and they're real superheroes, not the ones that play on TV or movies. A superhero to me is somebody that not only serves this country, but that becomes a firefighter or a police officer and serves their community. I mean, think about it. How many of them, you know, put their lives on the line for their country and then come back and put their lives on the line again for their communities? And Christopher Slutman is this type of superhero. So he was a New York City firefighter, but he also was a Marine. And when he gave his life a few years ago, his wife, Shannon Slutman, who is a tremendous human being, who has now taken on a role with the foundation. She has a couple of, three daughters, and she has taken on a role with the foundation. Whenever she hears a story about another superhero or a hero who's given their life, she's always calling us and say, Frank, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it was it's just heartbreaking to see what these families, the sacrifices that they make. And there was Deshaun Briggs and Chris Raguso, another two great heroes who died in Western Iraq, who were in a helicopter that went down and left behind young families, one of which was also a captain in the fire department, another superhero. And the other, Deshaun Briggs, was took the test to become a firefighter. So when he was going to get out, he was going to become a New York City firefighter, as a matter of fact. And both their widows have done so much for the foundation. Just like I was talking in the story before about Detectives Lou and Ramos. So you remember when the five police officers were killed in Dallas, Texas, were assassinated? Do you know that the widows, Detective Lou and Detective Ramos' widows, flew down with us to Texas to meet the widows, these new five widows, and let them know that they have a grateful nation and that what life to expect, because they're already a couple of years behind them when this happened. And not only that, they donated $10,000 each. Could you imagine that? $10,000 each to help these families. So people, when they get involved with us in the foundation, they see a difference that it's made in their life, and they want to make the difference, paying it forward to help somebody else in somebody else's life that are grieving the same kind of grief that that no one should have to go through.
You've helped thousands of families. What's the single biggest thing those families have taught you, Frank Siller?
Well, they taught me so much. That's a good question. I guess just to be grateful. I think just to be grateful that I live in America, because no other countries do what we do here. They don't take care of their military. They don't take care of their first responders. They're grateful that I have the family that I have, and that I have the country that I have, and that I have my relationship with God that I have. Because let me tell you, without it, you just can't get through these type of things. And to see these families, I fall in love with them. I fall in love with them. I'll tell you what they do. They give me such energy that I can't sleep, that I have to know that it's my responsibility and all our responsibilities. But I feel like because Stephen made such a sacrifice, and I see all these families that make such sacrifices, how can I rest? How could I just go back and say, all right, don't get me wrong, I want to go play around the golf like anybody else, and I want to enjoy my grandkids. I have six beautiful grandchildren, and I enjoy it all. But I'll tell you what, everybody's got to pay and do what they're supposed to do. And if it's taking some time away from our families to take care of another family that has gone through what they've gone through, we better do it. We just better do it. So sacrifice, that's the one thing that they taught me. Is I better sacrifice, take care. I better serve those who have served us.
www.tunnel2towers.org. The six greatest words anyone can ever hear in their life, bar none, are, well done, good and faithful servant. Frank, when you hear those words from our Heavenly Father, and your brother Steve, your kid brother's there, what are you going to tell them?
I'm going to ask them to make sure I didn't let them down. And I did everything that was required of me as a human being to make sure that we take care of all his brothers that he lost that day and all his brothers that are with him today that paid this ultimate sacrifice. And I think that he's laughing at us. I know that. He's laughing that he's keeping us. He kept us busy as a little kid, and I think he's happy now that he's keeping us busy now for the right reason. He was a lovable person. He gave it all, and they taught us how to be better people and to give it all, give everything.
That was reminded me of the end of The Private Ryan, you know? Remember where the dad goes, and he's asking the wife and kids, you know, did I make you proud? Am I good? All right. You recently committed $3 million to the first responders, the COVID disaster. Talk to the families who have been affected by this plague.
Well, so who are our frontline heroes right now? Our healthcare workers and, of course, first responders, as usual. Who once again are risking their lives. So we have had over already 34 families that we have made a commitment to. Now, I can't pay off their mortgages because this is different. But what we can do is alleviate them of their mortgage payments for a period of at least 1 year. I put $1 million on the side to make the mortgage payments of these 34 families who died what I consider in the line of duty, who have young families left behind. So we're making these mortgage payments, but we've delivered, over 2 million personal protective equipment all over the United States. But most certainly, I'm from New York, so, you know, the hardest hit was New York, and we delivered most of that now. So I know that, you know, we've gone to Ascension Hospital, Wayne University Health Center, and Detroit Medical Center in the Detroit area or Michigan area because that was one of the epicenters also. So we're proud of all the work that we're doing there. And that's what we do at the foundation. So I always say to you, it's an easy decision when we make these, when we go out. After Sandy in New York, we had to make sure that we did work for Sandy. This, obviously, COVID-19, there's been nothing like it in my lifetime. So we have to make sure that we do the right thing there and take care of all our frontline healthcare workers. And this is the type of work that we're doing. But we'll always, in the same time, make sure that we take care of our men and women in uniform, let it be for protect our country or our communities.
You and your siblings, you grew up with nothing. Staten Island, you guys were nobodies. And this, you've raised hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide. When you think about that, what do you say to God?
I say thank you for guiding us and to realize that we are a grassroots foundation. Don't get me wrong, we have General Motors, who has been a great partner for us. I don't know where we'd be without them. And we have Home Depot, same thing. We have corporate sponsors. But we rely on the individual because we are a blue-collar grassroots foundation. And that's why we ask for $11 a month. Most people can do that. If you can't do it, do less. You could do more, do more. But most people can sacrifice a little bit. It's two lousy cups of coffee a month you don't drink, or three cups of coffee, whatever it may be. You know, instead of buying on the outside, you're donating $11, and you know that your money is going to be spent to help the greatest of all Americans. And the goodness of America, which I count on all the time, will always take care of the greatness of America, those who are willing to die, Jack, for our freedom and for our communities.
www.tunnel2towers.org. Somewhere in the Bible, Jesus says, I go before you and there are many mansions. Frank Ziller, the Ziller family's going to have a bigger mansion than any mansion in the Hamptons for all you do. Thank you for all of America, for all you guys, and please keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack. God bless America.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.